Our gospel for today is from Luke, the 13th chapter, and it takes place when Jesus is headed back to Jerusalem for the final time for his destiny. And on the way, he stops outside a town and has a moment to reflect. And while he's there, he gets bad news from town. And he talks about that, and he reflects the Holy Gospel from St. Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God and from our brother Jesus. How you feeling? We've completed 10 of the 40 days of our journey together through Lent. Are you tired yet? Do you need to sit and rest for a couple of days? Or do you want to keep going? Amen, sister. Pastor Brian has been suggesting a word a day for us, as he said before, and it's the focus our reflections during this journey together. And I'd like to suggest that the word for today is compassion. A compassion is defined as a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. And this feeling is generated by love. For the last 3 years, January and February have been months that have overwhelmed me with the news and the activities surrounding the death and burial of close friends and members of this congregation. At the end of February, I am often overwhelmed by the number of funerals I have presided over in the first 2 months of the year, and by the emotion that has left me feeling drained and exhausted. Last year, I told the office staff that there were to be no more funerals for the remainder of 2015. That didn't happen. This year, although we still have another week of February to go, I'm beginning to feel that same sense of overwhelming coming over me. It's true. Pastors can get overwhelmed with something called compassion fatigue. There are constant demands on our time and decisions to be made, and always, always someone who needs help and who comes with a story, possibly a true story, or possibly a well-rehearsed and totally false story. Sometimes it gets to be really easy to be cynical. Perhaps you've felt it too. Students and teachers getting mid-year fatigue with studies. Accountants being deluged with tax returns. Politicians struggling with campaigns and budgets. Working parents with children who don't have the same sleeping habits we would like them to have. All of us suffer from forms of fatigue that leave us unmotivated and reluctant to continue on the path. Even Jesus seemed overwhelmed at times, retreating to a hilltop to get away, to pray. This was important because compassion is at the heart of his ministry. The second Sunday of Lent finds Jesus on a hillside, filled with compassion for the problems of a big city that has lost its way. He's lamenting the hillsides of crosses that will dot the Jerusalem landscape when the city finally falls to the Romans. He sees the destruction that lies in store for Jerusalem. He longs, as a mother hen, to draw in the people he loves and to protect them. And he admits that because of the free will granted to all of us by God, there may be some people he cannot help. How deeply do we feel the sufferings of others, whether or not it's their own fault? This is perhaps the flaw of the incarnation. There is no longer a great distance between God and humanity. God, having taken on human form, cannot deny that the divine knows intimately our flaws, our failings, our fears. God now thinks like us. And although God loves all of us, God cannot make us love God. Jesus lamented how little difference he was making at the core problem of those who lived in Jerusalem. As we lament with Jesus over the problems of our own society, how can we continue to strive for the things that make for peace or for solving the problems of bringing food to the hungry and justice to the oppressed? The essential thing demonstrated by Jesus when he went to the extreme of accepting the cross in the face of our sinfulness is that we must be as loving as our Lord in the face of the world's stubbornness. In addition to loving, we must never set ourselves apart so that what happens in the world seems to happen to someone else. Jesus was filled with compassion for the people. That compassion declares that as part of this family, we are one. But what binds us together? Shared experience and table fellowship. I have found over time that events involving food, especially the food we find at this table, really bind us together. If we do not break bread, literally or symbolically, with our brothers and sisters close at hand and around the world, we won't be one. And that fellowship at the table continues to strengthen and motivate us to find ways to satisfy the hungry of the world. This weekend, compassion and love are bringing together literally hundreds of people at North Central College to pack 1 million meals to feed the starving children. We must be connected and remain faithful in our connectedness. And not only with humanity, but faith in God's kingdom, faith in God's creation. That faith can bind all of us together in a rapidly growing, transforming relationship. Compassion fatigue can dull our memory. It's easy to forget. That's right. People forget. The plight of inner city schools may attract our attention for a day or a week, but sooner or later becomes the problem of the Chicago public school system. Someone else's problems, because our minds are focused on the glut of news that leads us to choose celebrity scandals over the true ills that beset us. The boundaries of our days are picketed with current events, events of such magnitude for good or ill that they cannot be forgotten. In my lifetime, events such as the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Robert F. Kennedy are all the more poignant for me because I met them and I shook their hand. We have the explosion of the space shuttle Challenger, the destruction on September 11th, 2001. All of these are defining moments in my life. The pain and sorrow may lessen with time, but it never fully fades. To get past this compassion fatigue, we remember that we are children of God. To be a child of God, though, is to allow God to be our Father. To live as a citizen of heaven is to allow Christ into our hearts. For when we have the love of Jesus in our hearts, we know that a life of discipleship and devotion, of faith and faithfulness, of conscience and commitment will follow. But we must allow Christ in. We must allow the love of God to rule our lives, direct our thoughts, guide our actions. And that's not such a bad thing to do. That's the kind of love God has for us. A love that Jesus expresses in the face of threatened death. A love that goes about its business in spite of the consequences. Love that adopts us as children. Love that makes us citizens of heaven. Love that puts us in our places and gives us our inheritances. It is love that refreshes us and fills us and energizes us to get past the compassion fatigue and go on. What keeps me going is to see that love fulfilled. I was privileged last week to baptize the infant daughter of a young man that was one of my confirmation students way back in the olden days. And he came up to me after church and he said, "Pastor Al, do you remember when I was in high school and I was in trouble with a bunch of kids and they were getting me into all kinds of things, and you looked me in the eye and you said, 'Those are not your friends.'" He told me, "That has made the difference in my life today. I have felt God's love." The glut of news, national tragedies, and the complications of loving others may lead us to say, "Woe is me." And for some people, that's what Lent is all about, looking inward to bemoan our sinful nature. We may not have all the answers. Our answers may not work. But Jesus tells us to get back into the ball game. If we cannot save the world, we may yet rescue one soul. Mother Teresa says, if you cannot feed millions, feed one person. And if Jesus is filled with compassion for all people, how dare we fail in sharing this love for a lost world? We got 30 days to go. Let's keep moving and let's keep loving. And may we be blessed by the hearing of this word. Amen. God, it's easy to be tired. It's easy to say, "Why should I?" The answer is clear, God. You love us. You love us and you fill us and you sustain us. Move us, God, to show your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.